Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue our studies on the subject of prayer, and we want to notice particularly the power of prayer as it was displayed in the early church in the Acts of the Apostles. The church there grew so rapidly against seemingly insurmountable power laid against it, Satan and all his satanic forces. And the Roman Empire and the Jewish hierarchy were all against the Christians. But there was much prayer, and we want to notice how God used the power of prayer in the formation of the early church in the book of Acts. We read in the first chapter of Acts, when the Lord told his people to wait for him, the disciples, after his ascension, and they were to wait for 10 days until the Spirit came down and endued them with power. Now, did they waste that 10 days? No, they did not. In verse 14, we read, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So they indeed continued in prayer. Now, after the church was formed, it was the daily occupation of those Christians to pray. They had a huge task, you remember. The Lord had just told them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This was their commission. Their task was great, and they felt the need of prayer. And indeed, it was part and parcel of that early church. We read in verse 42, after the formation of the church by the Holy Spirit, of chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowships and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And they prayed so earnestly that the cause of the Lord might advance against that opposition that had been directed against them." Now we read in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer," being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour of prayer when the evening sacrifice would be offered. "And they saw there a man sitting at the gate of the beautiful gate of the temple, and they healed that man. And then they were asked about the authority that they did this by the Jewish hierarchy. They told them, by the authority of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified on the cross, who you slew, whom God raised again from the dead," and that infuriated them. And those people came upon them and they asked them. We read in chapter 4, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold," that's in prison, "till the next day, and it was now eventide. And then they asked them by what authority they did these things." Peter told them right out. He says in verse 11 of the fourth chapter, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the headstone of the corner." And he's quoting the Psalms. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men by their standards, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Now, they threatened them with dire destruction, with real persecution, if they did not stop talking about the Lord Jesus. They said to themselves among a council that they held after they had examined the apostles, they said among themselves, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, and that they speak forth henceforth no more to no man in this name." They called them in, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. All right, The apostles were let go and they went back to their own company. And they told them what had happened. And they immediately had a prayer meeting. And we read in verse 20, of that fourth chapter of Acts, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We read in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." God was answering their prayers. Great power and great grace. Now we read over farther in chapter 12, of the book of Acts, that Peter was thrown in prison. Well, I think there's a little preamble that we should read. Verse 1 of the 12th chapter of Acts. "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, they put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, and turning after Easter to bring him forth to the people, and kill Peter." Now immediately the Christians gathered at the home of Mary, and they had a prayer meeting that didn't stop. We read in verse 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him." God delivered Peter. We read in verse 6 of that same chapter, "When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And he did so. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. He went out and followed him, the angel, and he didn't realize that it was true what was happening to him. And then when they came to the first gate, the gate opened, and the second ward, the gate opened, and after Peter was out of prison, the angel left him. So he went to the house of Mary, where they were praying. Peter knocked on the door of the house, and they came to the door, and they could hardly believe their eyes. There was Peter. He was the answer to their prayer, standing before the door. Now, Peter would have died the next day, but their prayers availed, and Peter was delivered, and he went on in the power. We go all through the book of Acts. We see the power and the success of the early church based upon prayer. Oh, the power of prayer. It has been said the only time the devil trembles is when he sees a saint of God on his knees. For he knows that if God chooses to answer that saint's prayers, all the forces of evil combined cannot prevent him from doing so. The power of prayer is the determination of God to honor it. God confirms our faith by answering our prayers. He makes himself a living reality by answering our prayers. God loves to demonstrate the power of prayer in our lives. Now, how can I pray powerful prayers? By praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, helps us to pray. We read in Jude chapter 20, or rather verse 20 and 21, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, verses 20 and 21. We read there, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Prayer, the power of prayer, is the Spirit of God that indites that prayer. He reminds us what to pray for. He gives us the words to pray for in prayer. He gives us the very words of the prayer. We read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul writes there, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Did you notice? We worship God in the Spirit. The power of prayer and the worship to God is a direct result of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the Spirit of God is an intercessor for us, and we read there that He helps us in our prayers, but when we falter, we cannot find the words, perhaps are too distracted, He takes up our prayers where we leave off. If you please, listen to this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered," which we can't utter. The Spirit of God takes up our prayers when we fail, when words fail us, when we can't even put into words our earnest desire, our anxious thoughts. The Spirit of God takes up our prayers. And we read there that He does so. I'll read the verse again. It's a lovely verse. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And the sequel, it's in the next verse. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." Why shouldn't they work together for the word of God if the Spirit of God is praying for us? We read in the 17th chapter of John that the Lord is praying for us. We read in Romans 8 that the Spirit of God is praying for us. Is it any wonder that verse 28 is the sequel to all these prayers? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are called according to His purpose." Oh, the wonderful power of prayer, and the source of it, the Holy Spirit of God. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will encourage us to pray and to open this wonderful source of power to ourselves and to those around us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.